Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revitin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live. Welcome, everyone, to the Connected for Real podcast. Today, I have Miriam with me, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. But first, I'm going to remind you, for all of you who don't know, that I am Revitin Batren Grossman. I'm a marriage coach for women in business. I love the intersection between business and marriage and how they interact. And I love talking about wholeness. And that is why Miriam Gitlin is here. So Miriam, please introduce yourself and then we'll get into our conversation.
Hi. All right. So I'm Miriam Gitlin. I'm a therapist and life coach and creator of the Shalva Shift Method. And I work with firm women who are dealing with major challenges in their life to help them to have better relationships and more fulfillment in their life. I'm really excited to be here.
Yay. I love it. Okay. So we have a couple of things that we want to talk about. But first of all, I think we need to address the topic of today, which is self-wholeness for marriage bliss. And, you know, wholeness is one of my favorite things to talk about. I have a whole YouTube video about perfection and wholeness, and I think it's one of my favorites and a lot of people love it. It's called I'm Not Perfect, if you want to go look it up. So it's great because it's a topic that really, really interests me. You know, in one of the books I was learning with a friend, the Ramchal, who wrote, you know, Mesilas Yesharim, but he also wrote Da Tvuna or something like that, Da Tvunot. He's talking all about how we have to perfect ourselves in this world. Like, what is this all whole world about? It's about us perfecting ourselves. And once you are able to perfect yourself, then you sit and enjoy the rewards, which is the result, but also you get the next world as a reward. And it's, you know, and it's not really like he makes it so simple, but yet so complicated to comprehend. You know, it's like, what does that even mean? I can't be perfect. I'm trying to be perfect. What do I do to be perfect? And the focus then, he says, is don't focus on becoming perfect. Focus on finding where you're imperfect and just follow that. And it was so practical and I loved it. You know, it's like you would think that to become perfect, you need to know like what does perfect look like and how do I get there? But really just focus on where you need to work and work on it and do your thing and, you know, continue to grow. And that's what it's all about. And then, you know, the tool that he says to achieve that is connecting to God. Like if you connect, then you are perfecting. If you're disconnected, then you are, you know, not. It's so powerful. So yeah, that was a, you know, total side. My tangents are going everywhere, but I love talking about wholeness because it really is so all surround, like all encompassing, right? That's what wholeness is all about. So you tell us what you have found about wholeness, especially self-wholeness.
Yeah. So I think the first thing, and I'm just going to go back to that Ramchal that you quoted, because I think that the word perfect is very misleading. And I think it's really important to remember that, you know, when the Ramchal is writing, he's not writing in English. So he doesn't actually use the word perfect, but the word shlemus, which means whole. And we translate, you know, mushlam or shalem, right? That root word in Hebrew, we translate to perfect because, yeah, in a lot of ways, that's what it means. But we also have ideas about perfection. And most of our ideas about perfection come from this physical world, this world where people have introduced ideas very often kind of like on a mass level. You know, what is a perfect grade on your test? It's getting all of the answers that the teacher asked, right? You know, what does a perfect body look like? Whatever somebody photoshopped and put up, you know, on that big billboard. And what does a perfect marriage look like? Whatever Hollywood has produced on that screen, or I think that, you know, that person I'm jealous of is living with. And I just, so many of the women who I work with have experienced trauma. And I think that we all have gone through trauma, and the word perfect can be really, really triggering and so confusing, especially because we do, you know, say Jewish people who are learning the Ramchal, right? But the people I'm speaking to today all speak English. So just like you said, it's about perfection. So we equate that with something which is really different from what I think the true meaning is, you know, because we know that we are here as individuals and we're not meant to be anyone else. Like, we're not meant to be the best of other people, right? We're meant to be ourselves. So what does perfect mean for me? And let's just chuck the word out of the window. Forget perfect. What is Shlemus, what does wholeness mean for me? And so that's where the self-wholeness work comes in. And so self-wholeness starts with self-awareness. And, you know, going again to the idea of what are my imperfections? And again, I really try to use language that people can understand. And I'm phrasing it that way because so many women come to me and say, you know, ultimately, I feel defective. There is something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. And so that word imperfection, again, or, you know, bad character traits or whatever that is, you can't even process a sentence like that without your nervous system, you know, kicking off. And, you know, so we want to look at these things and first of all, just be aware. It takes a lot of willingness to actually be aware of what is. And that's kind of where the next step, acceptance, self-acceptance is. And so I think we really need to root ourselves with the knowledge that, like you said, connecting to God, what is godly within us? We are a neshama. We are a soul, precious, wonderful soul. I always remind clients and bring this back to Hashem, God absolutely loves and adores you. And it says in the prophets and Navi, you know, Haben Yaker Li Ephraim, my beloved son Ephraim. And God is talking about this group of the Jewish people who are sinning like crazy, you know, worshiping other gods, completely betraying and, you know, turning away and just describing these people, how does God feel about these people as my beloved child who I love to play with and I love to talk about because I just get that smile on my face. Right. And so reminding ourselves that it's okay if we are aware and can accept our quote unquote imperfections, because they are, right? The things that we're doing, I like to use the word disruptors, because things like, you know, anger or selfishness, the things that we don't like, they disrupt us from showing up as our true selves and from having the kind of relationships and progress that we're looking for. So accepting ourselves with our disruptors, with the stuff that's getting in the way, and it's all okay. And we have to know that underneath that, like, why, even just understanding, why do we have disruptors? Those are there for a really good reason. They're there because our younger self had ran into difficulties and needed to figure out a way to be okay and to survive. So thank yourself for your disruptors. Thank yourself for having those parts that protected you. And now I'm bigger, I'm wiser. I don't need those anymore. They're not serving me anymore. So I'm open to finding a new way. And that's really what self-awareness and self-acceptance, you know, come to.
I love that. I love that. And now you said the imperfections and we feel defective. And it's like, we never really stop to think that we were created this way, which means that's how we're meant to be. Mm-hmm. Like, there is nothing wrong with you if there is something wrong with you. You are just exactly as you were meant to be, right? Like, look for the imperfections because they're meant to be there and they're meant to guide you. They're not meant to be fought against, you know, like in conflict all the time. I'm not supposed to be this way. This isn't how, you know. And I think you use the word, the imperfection is getting in the way of my true self. And I would like to adjust that, because your true self is all those parts of, you know, imperfections or all the things about you. Your conflict with the imperfections is what's getting in the way of your true self. Because the second you come to awareness and then acceptance that these are all the parts of me, then you can work with your body and not against your body, right? You know, people who, I have a client who loves to stay up all night and pull all-nighters and get things done. And she's like, there's something wrong with me because I cannot do this anymore. Normal adults don't do this. I feel like a teenager. I feel like I'm breaking all the rules. I feel like I'm not functional, blah, blah, blah. I was like, could you stop? You know, just stop. You're aware of something that works for you. It's working for you, right? You're getting so much done. These are your hours. Why are you fighting it? Just like, whew. So we changed her entire schedule to be able to work with her rhythm instead of work against her rhythm. And there's something so powerful to using your imperfections as guides, as opposed to as barriers. So that was just a little adjustment I wanted to make, but I know what you mean when you're saying it. So obviously,
I think there's actually a distinction between, I mean, I definitely have an internal family systems perspective that we have our self, which I believe is our neshama, which is, right, we have parts, and those parts are like part of our self, of who we are, but we still have a self which is separate and greater than that. But I think that there's a distinction between, and right, so we don't have to let those parts, you know, drive us, but there's a distinction between what you're describing, where your daughter is unique and has her own rhythms, and those rhythms. Oh, your client. I'm sorry. Those rhythms might, you know, that aspect of herself might not fit someone else's schedule, but I wouldn't call that a disruptor. I do think that we have ways of being that we've come to. For example, I would say anger, you know, outbursts of anger is a disruptor. The feeling of anger itself is not a, it, that's 100% fine. And that's healthy and helpful. And so we want to see what are the things that are actually, you know, getting the way, where are we hurting people, and understanding, you know, what's the root, right? If I look at that part of myself, that angry part, that furious, fuming part, you know, what does she have to say? Like, where is she coming from? What is she concerned about? Like, she's trying to protect me. And so I can be grateful to her for trying to protect me. Thank you. Thank you for your help. But I have other ways now, right? I'm going to be okay without that. And really having compassion for ourselves. And I think that compassion is the meeting point of self-love and self-acceptance. Like, when I can accept what is, and I can love myself, then I can really have compassion for myself, and I can also, you know, move forward. Like what you're talking about is like living with alignment. You know, you're, you know, seeing, what do I need? Am I a night owl? Great. So, you know, I have to figure out a way to get the kids on that bus, you know, at 7:45 or whatever it is. But
I mean, listen, she has kids.
To do that.
She has kids. She has a rhythm. It's working. The only thing that's not working is the way that she is talking to herself about how it's not supposed to be this way. You know, she is up all night. She goes to sleep for an hour, wakes up to get the kids out, then goes back to sleep. And she's beating herself up for not being functional, but she is 100% functional.
Functional. Yeah.
Which is like, it's mind blowing how much we beat ourselves up for the things that just are. Like, it's so innocuous if you work at night or if you work in the day, like, who cares, you know, whatever works for you. But it's so powerful what's happening behind the scenes and how it's affecting our everyday life. Like, how many things could she not do because she's not giving herself permission to do because something is wrong with her? And people with something wrong with them do not do these things, right? Like, this is the entire thought process is like, I cannot be a certain thing or do a certain way or whatever, because I'm just not perfect. I'm not there. I, you know, one day I'll grow up, or one day, like, stop, stop, stop. Right.
Yes. Yeah. There's, that's so, basically, I would look at self-wholeness as like divided into the one awareness and like acceptance half. And then there's the doing, right? There's self-care and self-commitment and self-discovery. And because I think like we can always be discovering more things about ourselves, but the commitment is commitment to myself, to showing one to myself, to showing up in a way that works for me. And if that's my schedule and my neighbor has what to say about it, that's okay, because that's my, you know, I am committed to living with the rhythms, you know, that work for me, or showing up in the way that works for me, or running my business in my own unique way, which isn't like other people in my niche. And that's okay, because it's right for me. Also self-commitment to myself in my other roles. And so many, you know, or what are the commitments I've made, you know, as a wife, as a mother. And I like looking at it through the lens of self-wholeness, because so often women say, you know, I feel pulled, right? Like either I could be a mother, right? Or a wife, or myself. And where do I, and when we're committed to all of it, and rooted in ourselves, then it doesn't have to be an exchange, or, you know, different roles competing against each other. We can just, you know, view ourselves with our life and our choices in alignment, and it can really flow and feel good, feel right.
So I love that. I love that. So you're touching on my specialty, which I love, is I, you know, if I grow my business, then I won't be a you know, present wife, and I will sort of like, you know, neglect the marriage. If I go all in with the marriage and I let go of my dreams, then I will be a married woman, but I will be very, very resentful and frustrated and, you know, unfulfilled. And how do I find a way in between? And it doesn't mean that your marriage is bad or that there is something wrong. It means that you're not 100% with all the parts of you yet. And all we need to do is just pull it all together. Like you said, once you're really, really clear on what is God's purpose for me, then the marriage serves that God purpose, just like the business serves that God purpose. And so the, you know, getting God to be at the core of everything we do is actually going to pull all the parts towards the center to work together with each other to create that life that you want. And more than that, you are the container of all of it. And that's why it's so important for you to come to all those self things, right? The self-acceptance, mm-hmm. self-love, self-care, self-discovery, because you are the container. And if you don't take care of that container to expand it and to allow for more containing, you will not be able to contain what you're meant to contain in order to do your purpose here. Like, so powerful, so amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's really the key. Like that's why I view self-wholeness as the first step for marriage bliss, because you know, we often hear, you know, two parts of a whole, or 1 + 1 = 1, right? All of these things. And I'm like, no, 1 + 1 = 3. Because we are not, yes, there's the idea of like our neshama, you know, our spouses, like our soul and our spouse's soul are, you know, two parts of a whole. That's great. We are more than just souls, and we're more than just, you know, married people. And if that's, you know, if we start looking at that, well, what about the idea of more than one marriage, or people don't get married, right? All of these things, or who am I until my marriage or after my marriage? What is that? But when you have people who are in a marriage and looking for their completion and their wholeness just through the marriage, we run into codependency, we run into neediness, we run into people, like all kinds of conflicts. So I would say an amazing marriage is when you have two individuals who are whole, who are fulfilled, who are really, you know, vibrant people in and of itself, and then they can come together. And then we have that marriage, we have that coupleness, we have that relationship, which is its own creation, right? That's the 1 + 1 = 3. And you can have so much greater intimacy and enjoyment and pleasure and connection when you can just really be there with what it is, when you're open to that, but you're not seeking all your fulfillment from that relationship, which isn't even meant to give you all your fulfillment, because you are meant to be a person and thrive on your own.
Oh, I love that. I actually say a half and a half do not make a whole. And you know, I never heard of it the other way, but I like how you explained it. For me, a half and a half don't make a whole is one of the best advice for people dating. You know, if you cannot be a self whole, like an entire entity, you know, then finding a different half who's also looking for what to attach itself to is not going to create a really great marriage. It's what it's going to do is create these halves that need each other to fill, like you said, codependency. I am a half. I have an empty part of me that you need to fill. And you have to do this, this, and this in order to fill it. It's like, oh no, right? Like we're getting into really bad things. So I always say to all of my, you know, my youngsters, when you're ready to get married, step one is come to wholeness with all parts of yourself. Like really face all of you and be okay with all the parts of you. Like really, really, really that peace of I am imperfect. This is who I am. This is all the parts of me. Of course, I'm working on myself. Of course, I'm going to be developing. Of course, I'm going to be discovering. And when you get married, you know, there's things that start to shift because you finally find a place where you can be safe to find more about yourself and to discover and to be playful and to all these wonderful things that happen in marriage that can only happen when you are already in a place where, okay, this is what you get. This is all. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not, right? There is something really beautiful when a marriage starts that way. Of course, it's something that could be created at any moment. So, yes, you know.
Yes, because so many of us do, you know, seek that person who will make everything better. And
it's called the knight in shining armor, you know, like somebody's going to come and save me and I'm going to, you know, I'm no longer going to be in this annoying life.
And the man's also, you know, so many men are looking for the love, the acceptance, the healing, the, you know, whatever it is that they didn't get. And I think that, you know, as much as like, I'm telling you about self-wholeness, you're telling, you know, yes. Like if you didn't come there, it's okay. Because you can still come to this place. And then when you work on yourself and you approach the relationship differently, the shifts happen. And, you know, so many times, you know, husbands start to change on their own also, you know, when the wife is making her change, because one, the dynamic is different. And two, it's like, wow, that looks really interesting. You know?
Oh, it's my favorite thing. My favorite thing is seeing about, you know, my program is a year-long program for women in business. And the first 3 months is really about, you know, really coming to this place of awareness and acceptance and all the things that we've been talking about. There's something really beautiful about the process of, you know, really simplifying the business to be the essence and not doing any busy work just for busy sake and getting rid of all of the, you know, attachment that we have to needing to run away from life in order to, you know, I'm right here. I'm doing my business. I'm being, you know, productive, quote unquote, but really simplifying on the business end, on the marriage end, on the family, right? Like really becoming the version of yourself that you know that you could be and that you're being called to be before 3 months, always husbands will suddenly turn around. Be like, can I read your notes? What are you doing? What's going on? Who is this person? Right. And the husbands love me because A, I take them off the hook. You are no longer the reason why we're miserable. And you are no longer, you know, going to be dragged by the ear to come to the principal's office and be told what to do. Just like, go do your thing. I'll figure it out. And then they are so happy, so free to go figure it out on their own. They turn around and they're like, whoa, how do I get that? You know, what, how do I join? And then the second phase of the program, you find that there's a lot more support. There's a lot more togetherness. There's fun. There's discovery. There's, how can I help you? What do you need from me? You know, things that you're like, who are you? Like, right? Like, I did not expect this, but I did because I see it all the time. It's so beautiful. And it's exactly what you're talking about. When you do the work that you need to do in order to become whole, you're no longer holding him hostage for your needs. And he is now free to go and be the person he needs to be. And it's very beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, tell me about the Shalva shift that you created and how you use it with your clients.
So one of the pillars of the Shalva shift is self-wholeness. Mm-hmm. And that's where we always start with. So it's, you know, as we said, really understanding, accepting, showing up for myself. And then the other two components are healthy relationships. And there's a lot of learning, you know, healthy dynamics of seeing the other person and being able to accept them as they are, possibly set boundaries, possibly be open to, you know, very often in a marriage, letting go of different, you know, dreams that we have, you know, if my husband needs to be right, he's got to be, you know, the strong one or the, you know, rabbi or, you know, the best or whatever. Like, I need to be married to a certain kind of person.
Or the provider, right?
Or the, like, provider, or, you know, or just, you know, there's so many different expectations that we can have of our husbands without really seeing who he is. And so on the one hand, there's coming to look at this person and be like, okay, well, he's not, you know, perfect, as we said, right? He is who he is. He has his own needs, his own inner world. There's also then it's kind of like popping back to that self-awareness of what was I looking for? Why did I need to be married to, you know, this, you know, idealized man in whatever way that is idealized. So really seeing him and, one, accepting him for who he is. A lot of women I work with have husbands who might be addicts, or, you know, or even if we're not talking like outright addiction, are doing things in ways that they don't like. For example, if a man has his own, you know, emotional pain or limitations, you know, because of things that he went through in his life, and he isn't doing the work, you know, of healing. So he might not be showing up as the kind of father that you want, right? You want a father who's going to, you know, connect to the kids emotionally and be there for them in different ways, or, you know, spend time with him. Maybe he's on his phone, you know, and so there's this place of accepting and being in reality and accepting him as he is, right? We have to distinguish between behaviors that aren't okay, that we need to set boundaries with, and then things that are just painful for me to accept. But if I can accept them, I can then move into a new kind of relationship. I have to do, you know, work on my own self for that. But then things are open, because, you know, if he's been feeling that, oh, this pressure, right? This unacceptance. It's not okay who I am. It's not okay who I am. The idea of different choices or different values in terms of parenting, in terms of finances, in terms of all the hot topics, right? He doesn't have to have the same perspective as you in order to be able to, one, have a really fulfilling relationship, two, have the kind of home that you want. As much as you might want, you know, especially with parenting, your husband to be a participant in that mood and that feeling and, you know, the ideals that you have when it comes to parenting, you can still give your kids that as long as there isn't harm going on, and harm doesn't mean necessarily just a different perspective from yours. We can, you know, we can really distinguish what is actual harm and what is something that you don't like, and it's not necessarily your values, but it's not harmful. So there's a whole world of, you know, healthy relationships. And
so the three pillars were healthy relationship, acceptance, right? Self-wholeness,
healthy relationships, and active emunah. Emunah means faith in Hebrew. And this is really bringing God into the picture and looking at our relationship with God. And how do I really trust God? And I actually just finished up an 8-week program called Heal Your Hashem Wounds, because, mm-hmm. you know, Hashem is God. And so that's Heal Your God Wounds. Like, what are the things that are getting in the way for me? Because for so many women, it's like, I know God's there. I believe in God. And yet I have trouble actually trusting, right? We want to look at what is mine. What are the things that I can take care of? What is my job? You know, what's mine and what isn't mine? What's not in my hands? And those were really ultimately, even if other people are involved, we're giving that over to God. And that giving it over to God is where, and taking direction, that's where we have shalva. That's where we have serenity. It's when I know who I am. I know what's mine, what I need to do. And I can do it. And then I can let go of the rest. But the letting go of the rest can be so hard, because we have so many voices, you know, whether it's experiences with our own authority figures, parents or other people, or just experiences that we went through where we understood things about the world, you know, that became our core beliefs. And I like to say that gravity is a core belief, because core beliefs are, you know, how we interpret the world and what we understand. So we all learn that if you throw something up, it will come down. We understand gravity, and we look at the other things, like whether it's you can't trust people, we give those the same weight as we give to gravity, because it's just what we have come to understand about the world. So if it's God has it out for me, or, you know, maybe God will make the right decision, but it's going to be painful, or it's God doesn't have time for me, you know, whatever those things are, they can really get in the way. So we want to look at, you know, what's going on in our relationship with God. What are those things that are underneath it, so that we can really feel loved and supported and let go, so we can focus on ours and feel that serenity of knowing I'm totally taken care of. I'm, you know, I'm covered, and I know what I need to do, and I can do it. And, you know, then we can show up in our lives, in our businesses, in our marriages, in our relationships, and just feel really peaceful and good and fulfilled.
Oh, I love it. I call it God baggage. I heard I heard Rabbi Aaron wrote that in one of his books, or I heard someone quote him calling it that. And I really like that. It's like, you know, you're carrying all this luggage with you, and you could be traveling light, you know, just let it go. Declutter a little bit of the things that we believe about God, because it's so freeing when you finally question it and just let it go. In my program, we have four pillars, and God is the first one, right? So God, marriage, business, you. So I think, like, it's very interesting. It's fun to watch how your perspective and creating your pillars and how I am sort of, you know, putting them over mine to see where we're different, or where we have different approaches. And a couple of times already I saw, it's like, we're almost the opposite in a lot of ways, like mirror images.
I don't view it as a, like, as an order. I view it actually, I have like a Venn diagram where it's, you know, it's a circular thing. I always start with self-wholeness, because I think we can't even, you know, we come into this world and we have our awareness. And so we have to know who we are and be, you know, we have to be whole, right? In order to, or at least on the path of healing, in order to even come to the awareness, you know, of our relationship with God. And then we kind of, you know, look at the other, I think I said pillars, but, you know, I think of them more as components, you know, whether it's the relationships that we need to go to next or our relationship with God. You know, I was thinking about this program that I did. And so like some of the women came in knowing exactly what these are my God baggage, as you would say, right? And then others were like, I don't know. I just feel really anxious, or I just feel some kind of disconnect, and I don't know what it is. So that's where I'd say let's go in to figure that out. So
yeah, it's, you know what, it doesn't matter what order or what, you know, how you get to it. If you're working on your God wounds or God baggage or any of that stuff, you are on the, you know, 0.01% of the world. It's what we're here for, you know, like, why were you created? To connect to God. Basic, right? Everything else is extra. So it's so beautiful that we can do that, you know, and really take the time to lean into that and become, you know, more connected. Well, yeah. My business is all about connection, connected for real. I love it. Okay. So tell us how people could find you, where they can hear more. What do you have to offer?
So my website is MiriamGetlin.com. I offer coaching, upcoming courses, and I just launched a membership, which I have a coupon code for you, for all your listeners. They can get a free month. It's called Sparks. And every month we're delving into a different topic related to serenity and self-wholeness and healthy relationships. So that's MiriamGetlin.com/Sparks. And you can use the code for real to get a free month, all caps. And I also have a free guide, which I sat down to just like start writing. It's called the 5-step path from too much to serenity. It turned into a literal book, 52 pages, but it's on my website at MiriamGetlin.com/steps. So you can get your copy there. And that really outlines the journey that we need to go through from that place where we feel like it really is too much, where we are overwhelmed, where we are stuck, where we don't know, and to move into that place of serenity where we feel really connected to God, really supported, and really aligned and whole, you know, in ourselves and our relationships.
Oh, so. I love it. Everybody go grab the copy. And thank you so much for giving the free month for real. That's a really fun coupon code. Thank you for this conversation. It was really wonderful. I want to just take a moment to invite everyone to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, which is happening February 13th. Until the 21st. It's a 7-day retreat with a break in the middle. You get time to implement. You get time to try it out in your home and see how it's working. You also get an implementation call with me so that you can let me know how you're doing. If you have any questions, you get to say hi and thank you, whatever you want. Those are my favorite because I get to meet all my, you know, all my listeners. And I'm really excited about this one because we're also going to be uploading it to the podcast so that people can really listen as we go and don't feel like they have to, you know, show up live if they can't. So I'm excited about this one. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Israel, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we're starting February 13th. So go get your spot connectedforreal.com/retreat. And I look forward to seeing you there. Oh, such great conversations. I'm so grateful that you came, and we probably could continue talking forever, but we're going to wrap it up. So thank you so much, Miriam.
Thank you. This was really great.
I look forward to speaking to you again. And for everyone listening, don't forget to stay connected for real. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revetzin Batchen Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget,
you can be connected for real.